Would like you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. Well, we'll actually make a, that'll be our key text, but we'll actually cover just a few other passages in Genesis previous to that. Actually begin starting in chapter 29. We're continuing on with the life of Jacob. We looked last week at some of the first events, some of the earlier events in the life of Jacob. Remember, Jacob's name is a supplanter, means supplanter, which means, it's not a word we use a whole lot anymore, but it means to overthrow by tripping, to supersede by force and trickery. Jacob was a schemer. He was an inventor of schemes. And he actively schemed his way out of trouble, schemed his way to get his way. Reminds me of Proverbs chapter 3, where we're told not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him. And I believe that's very relevant as we look at the life of Jacob tonight, to put into context the fact of his scheming, that even knowing the promise of God that the elder should serve the younger, which was backwards from normal, but God had made that prophecy that the older one would surrender to and serve the younger one. And that Esau, the older one, thought so little of his birthright that he sold it for basically a bowl of soup. That he gave it away, essentially, because he didn't highly esteem it. It wasn't something tremendously valuable to him. But in all of that, God was working and God was moving, and We began to see Jacob last week as he met God and as he dreamed that dream, and heaven above with a ladder between heaven and earth and angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. And the first chapter of John lets us know that the Lord said that ladder was Himself. That He was that ladder, and that He is the connection between heaven and earth, and that He is the access between man and God, and that He is the only way to God. And so we saw that last week, and we saw how that Jacob, I believe that was probably the point in which Jacob was converted. Now, remember, he was on a journey. Jacob was on this journey, and the cover story of the journey was, I'm going to go over here and find a wife. Mom sent him away, go find a wife. That was the cover story. The reality of it was he was running from Esau, which is relevant to our story tonight. He was running from Esau because Esau was so angry with him, he sought to kill him, sought to murder his own brother. And so, probably about 3 days into his journey, he stopped and he rested and he dreamed this dream, and he, I believe the Lord saved him, revealed himself to Jacob. And Jacob said, I didn't know it, but God's in this place. God's here. And God came to where Jacob was and met his need. Well, Jacob goes on and he meets Rachel. And that's where we pick up the story tonight in Genesis 29. He meets Rachel, and it would read like love at first sight. He meets Rachel, and instantly they're madly in love, and Jacob goes to talk to Rachel's father about getting married. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said He's speaking to his father-in-law and said, I'll serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I should give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all them of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. He thought Rachel. They consummated that marriage, very normal, very natural. But the father-in-law had given Leah, the older daughter. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? Now, the schemer has been out schemed, and he doesn't like it, obviously. Well, Laban said it in verse 26, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. The elder has to be first. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. And Laban gave Rachel his daughter Bilhah his handmaid to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served him yet 7 other years. Well, so he finally, through after 14 years, has met and married now the lady that he first loved. And he now has been serving Laban 14 years. And after a period of a few more years, it's time to leave the area, and that's where we'll pick up the story, probably about 20 years from when Jacob left home. Now Jacob is going to head back to home, and we will pick up that story in Genesis chapter 32. But before we get there, we'll just run through the 12 sons. It's relevant. Genesis chapter 35, will just give you the offspring of Jacob. Genesis 35 and verses 23 through 26. This is the most concise passage that shows the 12 sons. And the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob which were born to him in Padan Aram. So we have 12 sons. 12 male sons. I guess all sons are male. 12 sons. Later, will be called the 12 tribes. There's going to be some adjustments with that. Down the road, we'll look at that. Some lose their blessing and so on. And there's going to be some adjustments from the names that we see right now. But to pick up and keep on going with the life of Jacob, let's go to chapter 32. We're round about, as I said, 20 years from the time that he left home. And we're not going to read the whole part of the chapter. The whole first part of the chapter is Jacob's getting ready to meet with Esau. Now, Jacob, the schemer, is trying to scheme his way through this as well. And I believe all of that needs to remain in context. The name of Jacob, the character of Jacob, and what event will transpire tonight, will all of that will have bearing upon how we view that as we read in Genesis 32. Beginning in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. And he'd gone out, just a little fill in some of the pieces here. Jacob had gone out, and it would appear that he'd gone out to get alone with the Lord. He'd put his plan together in the earlier portions of the chapter, and he had figured out how he would meet Esau. He figured out how he would try to appease Esau. He had everything in place. And it would appear, though, that now he decides to go out and pray. Some may take issue with the fact maybe he should have been doing the praying first. Nonetheless, this is what Jacob seems to be doing. And he was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, verse 24 would tell us that Jacob had an encounter, and here described as a man. Now, in verse 28, look what it says. This one that he's wrestling with said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Look at verse 30. "And Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Now, hold your finger in Genesis 32 and go over to the book of Hosea, chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12, we're getting a bearing on this man that we're introduced to in Genesis 32 that wrestled with Jacob. We want to get a bearing on who this is. Hosea 12 and verse 3. We know we're talking about Jacob by verse 3. "He took his brother by the heel in the womb." That's what Jacob did. "And by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed." Get that. He had power over the angel and prevailed. Now, we put all of this together and we see that Jacob didn't wrestle merely with an average, ordinary, flesh and blood man. Most likely, this was the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. A manifestation of Christ, not the only one that happened in the Old Testament, prior to his birth. And at the very least, we have it as an angel of the Lord. And he wrestled, Jacob wrestled with this angel of the Lord until the breaking of the day. Now I'm back in Genesis 32. Verse 25. "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Jacob wouldn't give up. Jacob would not give in. Two ways to look at it. Angel of the Lord seeking to break Jacob of his self-reliant, scheming ways. or just the angel of the Lord, not so much negative, but positively forcing Jacob to hold out for the very best. Old preacher that I used to like to listen to, I still like to listen to, long since been with the Lord, he said, "I believe that God is willing to give his people the very best as long as they'll accept nothing less. If he can just push you away and get you to drop it, then you're really not serious. And he's not interested in somebody that's really not serious." But that whole doctrine of importunity, that whole ask and keep on asking, that whole... I heard a preacher say one time that he'd been begging for direction of the Lord, and he'd gone out in a field and he'd thrown rocks at the sky, screaming, "Please, reveal yourself to me. Show me. Teach me." And this man's testimony is that he would not quit asking. He would not give up until he got his answer. I lean that way with what's going on with Jacob. And it could be both. It really could be both. That not only, and maybe they're one and the same, not only is Jacob here being taught a lesson about not relying on his own self-sufficiency and his own scheming, but learning to rely on God, and thus he is striving then for the very best, God's best. He can realize that his way is not the best. Relying on himself is not the best, but relying on God. And so in verse 26, we read this. He said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." At this point, they're wrestling. And Jacob will not break, will not give in. And the angel of the Lord puts his hip out of joint. Most believe that he limped the rest of his days. And the angel of the Lord puts his hip out of joint. And now all he can do is hang on to the angel of the Lord. All Jacob can do, he can't wrestle now with a hip out of joint so well. He's now sorely impaired. And all he can do is just hang on. And verse 26, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Jacob just hung on. Jacob simply wanted God's best. He wouldn't settle for anything less than God's best. Maybe what's going through his mind is, look, I've been a schemer and a supplanter all my life. Everything I've accomplished by my own schemes. And I don't want that. And maybe this whole thing is a teaching tool. God breaking Jacob so that he sees all of this and he realizes, I don't want any more of that, I want you. And I won't let go, I won't give up, I won't take no for an answer. God, I want you in my life. I want you and your best. That ought to be very, very much a part of our mindset. I want your best, Lord. So many people that name the name of Christ, so many people that are members of sound churches, settle for average, pop culture Christianity. And don't strive for God's best. Now Jacob here said, I'm not letting go of you till you bless me, till you promise to be with me. I want your best. Verse 26 reveals to us a humbling person. A humble person. An event that humbled Jacob. He saw his need of God in a very real way. I believe that he'd probably been saved 20 years. But now more clearly than ever. And this is probably a normal progression where that as we walk with the Lord, we grow with the Lord. And he's been saved a fair amount of time. And now more than ever, he sees his need of God. Not just a casual relationship. Not just an average relationship. But I'm not letting go of you until you bless me. Maybe there's something in Jacob that he realizes more vividly than ever. My supplanting, scheming ways are not honoring to God. And I want to honor God. And I want what's best. Verse 27 reveals to us some self-examination, some more self-examination. He said unto him, what's thy name? He said, Jacob. Jacob meant supplanter, schemer. Again, this tells me that the angel of the Lord is working upon the heart of Jacob, working upon the thinking process of Jacob, reminding Jacob, who are you? Supplanter. That's why I'm holding on to you. That's why I will settle for nothing less than your blessing. I see a lot of self-examination in this scene. I see a lot of facing who he is in this scene. And I see a lot of surrender in this scene. And verse 28 comes along, he says, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. He had over men prevailed many times through his scheming. He'd shown himself to even have what the Bible describes as power with God. He would not let go. Would not take no for an answer. He found in this then a deeper realization of who God is and the strength of God and the power of God. The name Israel means God prevails. God prevails. His old name meant supplanter, schemer. I can prevail by my schemes. His new name is God prevails. God wins. So Jacob is coming to some incredible life lessons here. In verse 29, Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. What I wanted to bring out about that, he had a deeper desire to know more about God. Who are you? I recognize you're not a man. You're an angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. Who are you? Verse 30 Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He had seen God there. Remember, on the way away from home, off headed for finding his wife, he declares, I've met God. I didn't know God was here, but truly, God is here. I've met God. And now, 20 years or so later, on his way back home, he said, I've seen God face to face. My life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. He limped as he walked away from that place. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. From that time on, most likely, Jacob limped. That one who was very self-reliant, self-sufficient, that one who schemed his way through a lot of things, on this occasion met God. He realized who he was, and he realized a deeper and a new who God is. And he had a lifetime of limping, probably, most likely, a lifetime of limping to remind him. You know, you get scars. I mean, most people do silly things from time to time and get some scars. You know, I've got a few that I can tell you, some really silly things that I've done. And I'm very fortunate to have all the fingers on this hand because of an encounter I had with a table saw. And I'm very fortunate to have all the fingers that even work, as badly cut up as it was. And I can look at that. Well, most of the time up here, I don't have to look at it. I can feel it in the cold weather. That knuckle hurts. And I say, yep, when I was 18, I got my hand in a table saw. Very foolish what I was doing at the time. Very silly. And Jacob could have, for many years after that, he's limping along, and he remembers, I got this when I saw God face to face. I got this that night that I realized who I am, and realized far deeper who he is. And now I rely on him all the more. And it can be seen then as a growing process. We'll later see Jacob in the very twilight of his life over in Egypt, and blessing his children, pronouncing that blessing. Joseph will be the son that Jacob has that, of course, affords them that welcome standing in Egypt. We'll look through some of those things as time goes on. A lot of lessons in this for us tonight about our need of real good self-evaluation and a constant reminder to depend very completely on the Lord. But the one thing I really want you to think about, and I believe is rolled up into this, ask God, beg God, to show you His best for your life. And don't settle for average. Don't settle for what everybody else calls acceptable and okay. Beg God to show you and beg God to direct you into His best. I believe that's a part of what was going on with Jacob as he hung on to God and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Brother Keith dismisses.